Good morning, everyone. How wonderful to be up here. Will you please join me in prayer? O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Beloved Jesus Christ, Blessed Master, Dearest Mother, Saints and Sages of all religions, I bow to all of you. Free my life from all obstacles. And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development. Make my mind thy temple. Make my heart thy altar. Make my love thy home. Be thou the only King. Reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Amen. I have my Sunday go-to-meeting clothes today. Mother would be happy. Don't usually wear this, but formed a wedding yesterday, so it seemed to make sense to combine. Reading from Master's commentary from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 29. Other devotees offer as sacrifice the incoming breath of prana with the outgoing breath of apana, and the outgoing breath of apana in the incoming breath of prana, thus arresting the cause of inhalation and exhalation, rendering the breath unnecessary by intent practice of pranayama, the life control technique of Kriya Yoga. And Master's commentary. There are two main currents in the body. One, the apana current, flows from the point between the eyebrows to the coccyx. This downward flowing current distributes itself through the coccyx center to the sensory and motor nerves and keeps the consciousness of man delusively tied to the body. The apana current is restless and engrosses man in sensory experiences. This is, of course, very key to the practice of making the mind inward and what the problem is when we try to do so. In order to really advance spiritually, we must first obey the basic principles and rules of a good, healthy lifestyle. And this is the laws of Moses, the laws of Manu. Both are the lawgivers. And they give laws for the mind, for society, in order to help guide and direct those things which we should do, in order for the best maintenance of this body, of families, of communities, and of nations, and of the world as a whole. And if we follow these laws, then we will benefit from that practice. But to really make spiritual progress, we have to learn how to turn the mind inward. Now, in the Bible, we learn in Genesis how symbolic Adam and Eve turn their attention downward with the serpent. And the serpent in this case is the apana. It is the life force that is directed downward. And in symbolic language, it is said that this apana was a temptation to the Adam and Eve. Now, Adam represents reason. Eve represents feeling. And so feeling was first tempted because feeling, nature, is what stretches down into the body. And it feels good. It's enticing. We think we want some of that. How food tastes, how different sensory experiences draw us into an outer experience in this world. But ultimately, it is the sexual draw and down into the lowest centers of the spine that really entice us. And we feel there a stimulation in the sexual nerves. Now, there is nothing wrong or dirty or bad about sex energy itself. But when it is focused upon to the exclusive nature of losing our spiritual consciousness, then it becomes an opposing force. It's at the opposite end. The ajna, here at the point between the eyebrows, is high up. That is why we talk about heaven as being up and hell as being down, because when we are drawn to the three lowest chakras, then this apana is drawn down into the lower centers and gets fixated there. Now we lose the openness and connection with the higher centers, the heart center, the throat center, the ajna, and the sahasrara at the top of the head. In order to reverse this flow, we make the mind inward. We do this through meditation. But this apana force is very powerful, as we know. And it is restless in nature. That's important to note. When you feel restless, when you find the mind that is restless, you get into states and moods where you're feeling unsettled. You're not peaceful. Our natural state is an inward calm, an inward peace. That is how we are designed to operate in this world, and with non-attachment to this world, so that when things come or things go, we don't feel overly excited or overly distressed about it. We never lose our sense of connection with the divine consciousness. So this apana force comes from the ajna and goes all the way down to the base of the spine, and this draws us out into the world. The other main current is that of prana. And prana, which flows from the coccyx to the point between the eyebrows. The nature of this life current is calm. It withdraws inwardly the devotee's attention during sleep and in wakeful state, and in meditation unites the soul with spirit in the Christ center in the brain. Now, modern science has replicated the experiments of the yogis, and the yogis have said that there are three different states of consciousness. One is the everyday, ordinary, conscious experience of being here in the world, this wakeful consciousness. The other is the deep sleep, and the deep sleep, of course, as sleep scientists have experimented with, happens within the first 2 hours of sleep or so. And there we don't have any dreams. There are no rapid eye movements. There is no dream state going on. We are in a deeply indrawn state. And we actually are unconscious yogis at this point if we have not learned how to go into that state consciously. We are drawn in with our oneness with the divine creator. And there we get replenished. We get recharged. This is where we get deep sleep. And it is truly restful. Then the rest of the night is spent in dream sleep. And in dream sleep, we are going through and processing all the experiences we've had through the day. Perhaps those things that are stored deep in the subconscious mind that look for expression, that look for some kind of resolution, but are not finding it in the conscious mind. So it's an unconscious way of trying to process what we do. Now, there's everyday unconsciousness that, for instance, if you're starting a new job and you're a cashier, say, for instance, and you're learning this as a new skill, and that night you dream about being a cashier all night, only you don't get paid for it. You get you're doing it free gratis, but it's a way for the mind to process that information, begin to integrate it down into the subconscious mind. And then there is the deeper subconscious mind of those things that are stored there, perhaps from early childhood, perhaps even further back into previous lifetimes. And these things, when they are of unpleasant nature, we call those nightmares. But there are many other experiences that may come to us that perhaps do not stand out in our mind so much because they're not so traumatic. And so we live many, many lives while we dream. One of the things that has occurred in my own spiritual path is that dream state and waking state are identical to me now. There is no difference between the two. And there is much that happens within the dream state. Now, when we are living in a more unconscious state, we are processing those things from the unconscious mind, whether they are from the relative, everyday, ordinary kinds of things, or they are of the deeper, longer lasting kind of nature of experiences. But also, there are times when we can have experiences within the astral planes. We can have experiences in spiritual planes. Now, there's a difference. When we have an astral experience, we may, for instance, meet somebody who has passed on from a human body, somebody that we have known from before, a grandparent or a parent or somebody that we have known. And we can have an experience with that individual. Now, in deepened meditation, this is also possible. And so we can have these astral experiences. I remember as a child having a recurring dream of flying. And this is something that you get from your astral body. And I would run to the retaining wall between our house and the neighbor's house, and there was about a 3-foot height there. I would jump off from that, and I would go high up into the air, maybe 20 feet up, and then I would float down like a feather, and I could just turn myself, and I could do different things, and I could turn somersaults, and gradually I would just very lightly touch down, and I was so excited, I'd run around and I'd do it all over again. And at other times, would be flying in the air, or jumping off of the house, or other kinds of things, and there's a great sense of freedom with this. And when babies are first born, they spend the vast majority of their life in sleep. And it is because they have recently come from the astral realms. And they are gradually attuning themselves to this physical realm, but it takes a tremendous amount of energy. So they rest in the astral. And then they come back into this human form, and gradually they're spending more and more time in the human form and less in the astral. And, as oftentimes happens, we can completely forget the astral altogether. And now we don't even remember our dreams. We just are aware of our wakeful state. There are also spiritual dreams, and in spiritual dreams, you will meet a tremendous spiritual being, perhaps, or you will have a tremendous spiritual experience. And when you wake up, you feel absolutely uplifted. You feel energized and charged, but in a very calm way. You feel spiritualized from that dream. And these are wonderful, wonderful dreams to have, of course. And they represent signs within our own spiritual progress. And they always come, the spiritualized dreams do, with the spiritual upliftment. And so these are the kinds of things that we have access to in an unconscious way. But we also have access to all of these things in our own conscious mind. And this, is, of course, is what this path is all about, is exploring those areas. When you walk to a graveyard, you might see rest in peace. And there's this sense of resting, of being in peace, of having this equilibrium. And the material mind thinks, well, only when this body is laid down and turns into dust will I have that kind of peace. Because the mind and the soul have not been trained how to enter in to those deeper states of rest and peace. We all need it. And that is why if we are deprived of too much sleep, we don't function well. And if you're deprived of too much sleep for too long a time, you have real problems going for you. So only by consciously learning how to go in deeper can you make sleep something that is supplementary to the primary rest that you're already getting consciously. back to Master's commentary. There is thus an opposite pull exercised by the downwardly flowing current, the apana, and the upwardly flowing current, aprana. Human consciousness is pulled downward or upward by the tug-of-war between these two currents to bind or release the soul. And in our sadhana, our spiritual practice, this is where most of us find ourselves. Maybe a little bit in the upliftment and mostly down in the downward pull. Or we get to the point where we feel more and more of the time we're in that calm equilibrium, that uplifted state, where we feel a great sense of peace and joy and light and love. And at this time, we're being baptized. We're being baptized in the current. And the River Jordan or the River Ganges or the River Jamuna all represent this inward river, this flow of prana, this upwardly lifting force. And when we're baptized in it, we feel cleansed. We feel that we are changed. We feel that we are a new person. We are born again. And you can have a shower and you can have a bath and you can scrub all you want, but nothing will approach the sense of purity and cleanliness that comes when you are bathed in this prana, this river of life force. It's the most wonderful thing. The vital current flowing outward from the brain and the spine to the cells, tissues, and nerves becomes attached to and clogged up in matter. It is used up, like electricity, through the bodily motor movements, the voluntary and involuntarily, and mental activity. As the life in the cells, tissues, and nerves begins to be exhausted by this motor and sensor perceptive activity, especially through excessive, inharmonious, non-equilibrated actions, prana works to recharge them and keep them vitalized. In the process of consuming life energy, however, they get off waste products, decay. One such product is carbon dioxide excreted by the cells into the bloodstream. The immediate purifying action of prana becomes necessary to remove the accumulation of this decay or death would soon occur. The physiology of this exchange is breath. And so this happens both on the subtle, on the pranic level, and also in the physical level. And so through the breathing exercises that we have, the deeper meditation, the Kriya Yoga that we have, we learn to purify the blood. And we learn to rest. We learn to recharge this body. Now, Master developed the tension and relaxation, whereas through the tension in the muscles and then relaxation, he guided the prana into the muscles and thereby recharged them. We can do the same thing by just sitting where you're at without tensing the body at all. And in your mind, open up the idea that there is a flow, there is a river of this prana that is flowing from behind you. Now, why behind you? Because we learn through yogic science that the medulla oblongata, which is a small nerve cluster at the base of the brain, is representative of an astral plex, a nerve plex. That astral is much, much more subtle than anything physical. You would never find it with a microscope or even an electron microscope. It is more fine than that. And into the body it comes, and then it's distributed through the brain and then down through the spine and out through the afferent and the efferent nerves of the physical system. Only each thing within the body is a carbon blueprint of what happens within the astral body. So the astral comes first. And the physical is an outward manifestation of that inner, more or less material, astral body. So as you think of your medulla, just at the base of the skull, just right where that kind of indentation is down at the base of the skull there, you think of opening that, relaxing it. You see, when we get tense or we feel unsafe in this world, we contract. And we're particularly concerned about being attacked from behind us. So we close ourselves off unconsciously, instinctively, from the very source of life that would really help us and recharge us. So when you feel you're under constant stress and strain, you'll notice that not only are your shoulders tight, not only is your neck tight, but you feel constricted. If you were to check behind and see what is the flow of that life force energy, you would see that it's actually cut down to a fine trickle. And no wonder we're exhausted and we're worn out. We're not recharging ourselves. So in deep meditation, you completely recharge yourself when you open yourself in this way. But you can do it through the day as well. So as you're sitting where you're at, and you open yourself to this flow, and it comes in up and down the spine. It's a soothing, calm, tingling kind of flow that comes into you. And you feel yourself being receptive. You feel the cells in your body being receptive to this life energy, to the recharging. And particularly if you feel exhausted, if you feel worn out in parts of your body, if you have pain, if you have difficulties with any particular part of the body, just feel that this life energy is flowing into you and supporting you. Now, it's not there to change you. If you get into the idea that it's going to change you, you get into a tug of war with those body parts. But if you feel that it's there to comfort you, to support you, to strengthen you, and you receive that, and you allow it to come in, and you open yourself totally, completely, or as much as what feels all right to do in the moment. And as you do this, you can feel yourself being recharged, just like a body or a battery. Your body is like a battery. And this trickle charge is coming into you. And you feel it as this wonderful, revivifying sensation. And you receive. From the moment you open your eyes in the morning till you close them at night, generally, all the life energy is flowing out through your body, and we burn it out. That's the burnt offerings that are given to God that are unacceptable to Him. Because we not offered anything up on the altar of divine consciousness. We've expended it all out through this worldly consciousness, through this worldly preoccupation that we have. So in this moment, you're going to reverse that charge. You're going to feel your body filled with that, and then it can lift you up to the heart center where you can open out and you can feel an enlarged sense of connection with this world, of love, of compassion that flows out through you. At the sixth center, at the point of the ajna, you can feel the flow come in as a smooth flow of thoughts, uplifting thoughts, pure thoughts, thoughts filled with light. And as that fills up your brain area, it can expand out through the top of your head and co-mingle with all space. It's not actually that you go outside of your body, but you feel that your identification itself grows. You become the size of this room. You become the size of this earth. You become the size of this galaxy. As much as your mind would allow you to expand, you can allow yourself to go out and expand with all space. And to feel there the peace, the freedom, the joy, and the light. And it's as natural can be. So this is a way that we can reverse that life force, get rid of the clogged energy on the subtle planes, on the astral plane, and release ourselves into complete health and freedom. From the opposite poles of prana and apana, currents in the spine, the inhalations and exhalations of the breath are born. When the prana current goes upward, it pulls the vital breath laden with oxygen into the lungs. These prana quickly distills a quantity of necessary life force from the electronic and lifetronic composition of the oxygen atoms. It takes a longer time for prana to distill life force from the grosser liquid and solid foods present in the stomach. That refined energy is sent by the prana current to all the bodily cells. Without such replenishment of pure life force, the cells would be powerless to carry on their many physiological functions. They would also die. And so we know from both Indian medicine and Chinese medicine that when these currents are blocked, then we create conditions of unhealth. There's some unbalance that's created. If you can imagine that the traffic is flowing down the different freeways and suddenly there's an accident and no traffic is flowing through one particular part of the freeway, then all the side streets start getting clogged up. Nobody's going anywhere. And in the same way, your prana can get clogged through physical energy or injury, through mental imbalance, through some kind of trauma that happens within you that gets you to freeze up. And when you freeze up, and you can feel it in your body in terms of different parts of your body, then actually freezing up, you don't have use of a shoulder or an arm or a hand because that prana is no longer flowing as it should be. The life energy distilled from oxygen also helps to reinforce the life force centers in the spine and at the point between the eyebrows and the main reservoir of life energy in the cerebrum. So at the top of your head is spiritually where you have this huge reservoir of spiritual energy, but most people don't contact it. Physical scientists tell us that we use less than 10% of our brain. And the rest of the brain, the 90%, most of it is for spiritual development. And the fact that it's not being developed means that we're not spiritually advancing. And you can feel it. When you feel this force, this pranic force flow up from the coccyx up into the top of your head, I feel the different nerve passageways as they have opened up. There's a tingling life force that flows through them. And sometimes it's painful, and in the Christian scriptures, this is described during the mystical crucifixion as the crown of thorns. And it can be painful as these different nerve centers begin to open up. But once they're opened and they're vitalized, now there's a smooth flow of consciousness through it, and it no longer has the pain associated it that it did when it was first opening. And so you have to be able to tolerate some of these things in order for the opening to be able to get created. The surplus oxygen from the inhaled breath is carried by the blood throughout the body, where it is utilized by the five vital pranas in various physiological processes. So this is a tremendous thing that we have been given, this human body. And within this human body, you might say, is the astral body. And more subtle than the astral body is the causal or the thought body. This fantastic creation that we have been given has so much more potential than what we've ever given credit for it. We live this life, and many of us do the best that we can, but we are consumed with the details of this life. Perhaps when we get home, we turn on the television set or we have other kinds of recreations, and we never consider the fact that what we have within us is so much more than anything that we can experience in this world. And that it is fantastic, really. There's a whole universe of experiences. There is power that's beyond belief. There is light. There is intelligence. The intelligence that has gone into creating all this world, and we think about the tremendous sense of intelligence just put into this body and how it operates, much less as we look out into nature and how trees and plants and other animals, the entire ecosystem, how it all works together. It's tremendous. And you think if you went about trying to design it, could you ever even do it, even a small portion of it? And the answer is no. These things are tremendous. So all of that intelligence is stored right within you. And you can have access through it through your intuition. But in order to have intuition, you have to learn how to quiet the mind and the body. You have to learn how to lift these pranic energies up and stop being consumed with this apana that is guiding down into you. And so this is the first stage of yoga, is learning how to do this. Once we've learned how to lift this energy up, then we learn how to turn it back down, but only this time, instead of it coming down as apana, we operate with this positive pranic energy flowing through the spine from the coccyx. It's not flowing down from the asana, so it doesn't have that negative association. What is the difference? We're not attached. We're not attached to these things, so we don't form a negative attraction into the various parts of our body that operates in conjunction with this world. It's all positive, and we are detached from this world. We live in a body, but we are not that body. We have emotions, but we know from moment to moment we are not those emotions. We have thoughts, but we know we are not limited to those thoughts. That all of those are subservient to the primordial spiritual consciousness of which we are originally from and which we return to. But then we learn to operate in this body. I would like to read from Sri Aurobindo, The Life Divine. And I will tell you that a few weeks ago, we were up in Courtney and giving a class on prosperity there. And at nighttime, I sat down in the chair there, and I was taken inward. This pranic force lifted me up very powerfully. And as I sat in that chair, I had a wonderful experience with Sri Aurobindo. Up until that time, I had known about his life, and I had read some about him, but never been hugely attracted to his writings. And this is the way that it is oftentimes. We can know about different historical personalities, and particularly saints. But as we progress up the spiritual ladder, if we have some connection or if there is some reason, that saint will come to us, that spiritual master will come to us, and we will have an experience with them. And the difference is like when you're perhaps going to visit a home and they have a large plate glass window that you can look into the home. And it's interesting and you can see the furniture and the people inside, but you are outside. And then suddenly, you're invited in. And now you're in the warmth of that company. And you hear the conversation, and you feel the people and the what it's like to be inside that room. It's different. And in the same way, when a spiritual master introduces themselves to you, you feel now that they have become part of family, rather than somebody that is at a distance that perhaps you have read about, known about, maybe admired, and even felt an attraction for, but somehow they felt distant from you, and this is the way that we had. And we spent about 2 hours with each other, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And so I'd like to read to you from this Toward the Sevenfold Knowledge. Our call must be to live in a new height in all our being. We have not, in order to reach that height, to drop back our dynamic parts into the undeterminate stuff of nature and abide by this liberating loss in a blissful quiescence of spirit. In other words, we oftentimes think, and I oftentimes hear from people, that they think in order to transcend the ego and go beyond ego consciousness, that they will become a nothing and that they will experience nothing. And really, this is a trick of the ego mind. This is not the case at all. We don't become less, we become more. And it doesn't mean that in order to be yogis or in order to follow this path, we need to renounce this world in an outer sense and go and live in a cave. That can always be done, and it brings a great repose and freedom. But what nature herself attends from us is that the whole of what we should rise into the spiritual consciousness and become a manifest and manifold power of spirit. An integral transformation is the integral aim of the being in nature. This is inherent sense of her universal urge of self-transcendence. It is for this reason that the process of nature is not confined to a heightening of herself into a pinnacle. This new height is not a narrow, intense pinnacle. It brings with it a widening and establishes a larger field of life in which the power of the new principle may have sufficient play and room for its emergence. So in other words, you don't just sit in meditation and lift it up into a high, narrow pinnacle, but this is intended to enhance all of your life. Jesus said it this way. He says, you will have life, you will have life and have it more abundantly. You will have life in every aspect. You will have more intelligence. You will have more ability. You will have more of everything, not less. This action of elevation and expansion is not confined to an utmost possible largeness in the essential play of the new principle itself. In other words, you can merge into the all consciousness, but then you come back down into body consciousness, but in a new way. You are not bound by old habits. You are not bound by your old consciousness. You are now an active principle of the divine spirit that is acting in this world through this body. But it is done in a new way. It includes a taking up of that which is lower into the higher values. The divine or spiritual life will not only assume into itself the mental, vital, physical life transformed and spiritualized, but it will give them a much wider and fuller play than was open to them so long as they were living on their own level. So every aspect of your being is uplifted and spiritualized, and now you can play a very active role in this world, but you are not bound by the things that you do. Our mental, physical, vital existence need not be destroyed by our self-exceeding, or in other words, going beyond the ego nature. Nor are they lessened or impaired by being spiritualized. They can and do become much richer, greater, more powerful, and more perfect. In their divine change, they break into possibilities, which is in their unspiritualized condition, could not be practicable or imaginable. So these are the kinds of possibilities that await for us. We are evolving souls, every one of us. And if we will take the challenge, if we will feel inspired, if we will take the effort to learn to lift up and be lifted up by this pranic force within the spine, to stop the constant obsession with the apana, that is the downward pointing force, going down into the spine and the body with total worldly concerns. Learn to recharge and re-energize yourself. Learn to enter into that primordial state of purity. Purity is not just kind of an ideal. It is a state of being, and when you feel that sense of purity in you, it is tremendous, beyond anything that you can imagine. And you feel that you are washed clean, and that you remained washed clean in this tremendous Spirit of God. These are wonderful, wonderful promises. And I can tell you through my own experiences that they are realizable. It is not dependent upon the clothes that you wear. It is not dependent on your station in life. It is not dependent on anything outside of you. It is available to you, and it is available now, not sometime later. People always think, oh, sometime later, when my children are grown, when I retire, then I'll have time. Then it'll be easier to manage this apana flow going down and creating so much disturbances. It is true your environment can be conducive towards peace, towards attuning yourself to the pranic flow going upwards, and that it is very beneficial for us to have times like that. But you are placed in this life for a reason. And the time is now, not later. As Lai Mahasha used to say, make acquaintances with God in the spring of your life, lest you wait till the winter and it's too late. So do it now, and put the spiritual effort into now, and you will realize the benefits today, not tomorrow, not next year, not 100 years or not another lifetime. But be like the child who knows that their inheritance is coming to them, and say, I want that now so I can employ that inheritance and be of service to this world. And to give to this world all that God meant me to give. To be the most complete and full human being, both Son of Man and Son of God, both human and divine. And you will know such a glory, you will know such bliss, you will know such peace and freedom, that you will scarce believe that it's possible. And it will take a while for you to accept it, that this is yours. And you may have it now and always. So take the evolutionary challenge. Be inspired. And know that you are one with the everlasting Creator, the everlasting God. You'll pray with me. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet and surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with Thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. Amen. Pranams, I bow to the light within you.